Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It's a blessing to be here, and I've got a quiz for you. Before you take your hymnal, you'll need it. Number, how many people here know what 473 is? If you know the hymnal, you know 473. Oh, this is embarrassing. I thought sure we'd know. It is a number, and it's a page number. Yes, sir. So at least the pastor knows. And if Joe was here, he would know it too. But so we're going to sing 473. That'll be our song for this evening. It seems to me, and then I'll pray for us first, and then we'll sing that. It seems to me, I'd like to kind of get a sense in the room of how you all feel about this, that there's almost a sense that we're not walking in our Christianity if we walk in victory. I when you work in counseling, maybe you get that idea, because I'm dealing with people with problems all the time. We all have problems and challenges and failures and weaknesses, and we're all works in progress. But do you believe this song? Do we have victory in Jesus? In Christ, we have everything. In Christ, we're complete. And in Christ, we always have victory. It's just sometimes we struggle, but we struggle from a place of victory. So let's sing this song a cappella, and let me pray, and then we'll 473, we'll sing it. Father, we don't come proud tonight. We come humble because we know what we were, and we know who we were when you called us, and we even know what we are on certain days and certain times. That just is a shame as your people, but we also know who your son is and what he's done and who he is, and that in you there is no condemnation. So we gather as your people this evening to celebrate the fact that we know you, that we're forgiven, that we will see you, and when we're with you, we'll be like you completely. When we see you as you are, see our Savior, we look forward to that day. And Lord, we know even in this day-to-day existence, you help us to become more like your Son, because you see you're outside of time. You see the finished product. You see the big picture. You see what your Son has purchased, which is perfect. And so we thank you for your grace and your mercy that has grafted us into the Christ and transferred us to the kingdom of light. And so from the heart this evening, we can sing, we have victory in Jesus. It is in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for taking us out of the world and out of the bondage of the devil and the bondage of sin, and giving us victory in Jesus. We sing to your glory now in Christ's name. Number 473, verse 1.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Verse 2. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The last I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Thank you all.
All right. Greetings to the church family from B. Spradlin. I got to see her the end of the week, and her body is declining. Hospice has been called in to care for her. But still is fairly alert, not always clear of what's happening, but just really seeking to honor the Lord, and is grateful for our prayers as a church family. I want to do something after the messages tonight, just to give you a heads up. Maybe you have a testimony, something you'd like to share about what the Lord's done in your life, is doing in your life, or as you think about your salvation story. Just give you an opportunity after the message to just share some testimonies tonight, if anyone has a testimony they would like to share. And we are entering into the post-community group schedule now, so just let's talk a little bit about what's going to be happening on Sunday evenings. The second Sundays of the month through the summer will continue as tonight, with the sermons coming from the book of Proverbs. So looking forward to those second Sunday evening services. We're also starting a little mini-series called Our Blessed Hope, as we're going to be looking at some teaching on what the Bible says about the future and what the Lord's going to do in the future. So that'll be in the month of June on two or three of the Sunday evenings. And then I think later in the month of July, and then maybe a Sunday evening in August. Also in July, we'll be participating in the Scioto Hills Family Camp Chapels, a couple of those Sunday evenings. Next Sunday evening, I'm excited to let you know about this. Rex Howe is going to be speaking to us about the subject of spiritual warfare in Appalachia. He did a workshop at the Tri-State Bible College Appalachian Ministry Conference a couple of weeks back. And I really found that to be so helpful. I asked if he would do it for us. Thinking about the region of the country we live in, how we think about spiritual warfare, and even just how thinking about the Holy Spirit in our region affects how we think about this spiritual battle we're in. So next Sunday evening you'll enjoy, as Rex will be teaching on that subject. So a little bit about the coming schedule.
Thank you for those that hosted and led the community groups this past several months, and looking forward to that in the fall. Any announcements about the fall and what we should anticipate there, Matt? Anything?
Leading up to August, and then in the middle of September, we'll start the community group. So that's the plan right now. We're going to be doing a debriefing meeting with all the leaders coming up here about a month. So.
Great. Any announcements that anyone has tonight about ministries, things going on that you want the church family to be aware of? All right. Our current new members class continues on Sunday mornings at 9:30, and we have a wonderful group that's participating, so it's not too late to join if you know of anyone else that's thinking about that. I announced this morning we're going to be having our business meeting, which will happen at the end of tonight. We'll be talking about an opportunity to bless our sister church in South Brazil, so I'll be sharing more about that at the end of the service. So. All right, well, let's take our Bibles, Matt. Oh, thank you for the reminder. So again, Wednesday night at 7, our friends from Romania will be here, Nicu and Marta Sotir and their children. And Nick will be presenting. I don't know what he's going to be sharing about. He'll be opening the scriptures with us, and I'm sure talking about what God's doing in Romania. And we'll have a Q&A time so we can just find out more about that. But 7 o'clock, yeah, we'll enjoy it. And if you don't know him, they have been with us before, and they all speak good English and just have a lot to say about what God is doing in Eastern Europe. So that'll be good. Well, let's go to Proverbs tonight, and we'll continue in our study of the book of Proverbs with our three brothers that will be bringing the word to us. Aaron Lindley is coming first, and then Dave Beam, and then Douglas Gonsalves will finish, and then I'll come back up and we'll do some testimony. So.
Well, good evening. Let me tilt that up a little bit. How are you doing? Really? That didn't sound very good. Are we still asleep? Did anybody else get a nap? I took a wonderful nap. Well, we're going to be in Proverbs if you want to turn there, chapter 2. But what is a proverb? Anybody know what a proverb is? In a biblical term, is it what?
A wise saying.
There are several of them, right? Wise sayings that can be, if you've ever heard Chinese proverbs and things like that. But we're going to talk about biblical proverbs tonight. A biblical proverb is a short saying that expresses a universal truth for practical godly learning, godly living. The Hebrew word is to be like. So it's to be like Christ and to learn the wisdom of Christ. And we're going to talk about wisdom tonight, the value of wisdom. But what is wisdom? Is wisdom the same as knowledge? How many people know somebody that's very book smart, but it's not very intelligent? A few laughs. So that's good. But wisdom is not the same as knowledge. There's a legendary story that backs this up. Henry Ford was given a $10,000 bill for work on a generator. And he questioned the bill. He asked for an itemized bill. And the engineer wrote him a letter and said, well, here's what it cost. Line item one, putting a mark on the generator, $1. Line item two, knowing where to put that mark, $9,999. That's the difference. Wisdom can also be known as skill, if you look at it in the Bible. It's used several times in the Bible to describe a skill needed to accomplish a certain task. So that's kind of the difference. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So let's look at that first. What you want to look at and notice is that this is written in a covenant language. This if, then. So if you do this and if you do that, then this is going to happen. In this situation, it's Solomon writing to his son. Let's stop for a second and think about how amazing it is that we as human beings can have any kind of covenant relationship with the living God. How cool is that? So let's look at this. If you receive my words, now remember these are short and easy to understand, so these questions won't be tough. Where do we get his words from? I know school is out and finals are over. Where do we get his words? From Scripture, that's right. Well, what do we do with them? Well, next, if you look at verse 1, we treasure up my commandments with you. You know, Pastor Brad and anybody else can teach you the Bible, but it's up to you to internalize it, to make it your own. So if you receive his words, treasure up his commandments in you. You know, Psalm 119:11, storing up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's an important thing that we internalize the Scripture. Now look at verse number 2. What else we need to do? Making your ear attentive to wisdom. How do you make your ear attentive to wisdom? Well, if you look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20, in the ASV it says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffer harm." The New Living Translation, I like how it puts it. It says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble." So how do you make your ear attentive to wisdom? Sounds like to me you just don't pay attention to somebody without wisdom. Maybe change the channel. You know, let me ask you this. Would you take marriage advice from somebody that's been divorced 4 times? I mean, it's an honest question. We are supposed to look at people who have walked a godly life and listen to people who have gotten through situations with a godly understanding of how his promises affect us. And this is a shameless plug here. We have a fantastic counseling ministry here at this church that not only trains counselors but can offer counseling from the Word of God. So it's coming from the right worldview. So, you know, we want to pay attention to wisdom. And incline your heart to understanding, the second part of verse 2. To incline means to angle something towards. So put effort forth in knowing the understanding, in knowing his wisdom. You know, it takes a conscious decision to follow after God and to search after his wisdom. Verse 3, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, that means quite literally ask him for help. Absolutely ask him for help. Lord, I want to learn. I want to know what's in your word. I want to know what you have for my life. I want to know what you know. Show me your wisdom. Ask him for it. You know, that's what he promised to do. Psalm 46, he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Take him up on it. Number 4, and here's the next if. If you seek it like silver and search it for hidden treasures, you know, you want to seek after it like you would search for a treasure. We have a lot of kids that just graduated, both high school and college, and are going into this world with plans of what? Getting a job, making money, making a name for themselves. Nothing wrong with that necessarily, but where's God? As long as he's the focus and he's the center, that's a great thing. We want to seek after the wisdom and knowledge of God like it's the greatest thing we could ever find. That's what it's saying. But what happens if we do these? Here's all these if statements. What does it say in verse 5? It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When I read this, I noticed this is so amazing. It's two total opposite ends of the spectrum. The dichotomy here, if you look at it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, he is God Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe. You know, did your parents ever tell you, I brought you into this world, I can take you out? He literally did. You know, we're supposed to be in awe of that. But on the other side of it, we can find the knowledge of God. We can know what he knows. We can see how he sees. We can love how he loves. Well, that takes an intimate relationship with somebody. You don't just figure that out. That takes knowing somebody. So we can know this God? That's great. I don't know about you, but that's inspiring to me. So once again, how do we do that? How do we get that godly wisdom? It's all spelled out right there. You know, you want to store up his word in your heart. You want to make your ear attentive to wisdom, to wise people. Stop listening to the foolishness. Incline your heart to understanding. You want to call out to help for him to help you, call out for insight, and seek it like silver, like it's the greatest thing you could ever find. And he says, you're going to understand the fear of the Lord, and you're going to find the knowledge of God. There's value in wisdom. This entire book is about, well, majority of it is about wisdom. I don't know about you, but I want as much of it as I can get. I really, really do. And there's a lot more to the value of wisdom and to why we should be seeking it. And looking to Dave to fill in the rest.
Well, good evening again. I've turned this down just a little bit. I'm not quite that tall. A little bit more. I'm getting instruction. I'm getting wisdom from the back here. Okay. Well, my verses are 6 to 8 in the same chapter. And I want to start with a story. Something that Connie and I really enjoy doing. And we haven't done it lately. She reminded me. It's been a while. But we like to go out for a country drive. I don't know if any of you do that. It's wonderful. And here's the way we like to do it. We like to search for back roads, unfamiliar roads, country roads. And you have to make sure that you have a full tank of gas. And you have to make sure you have your phone, your trusty GPS device. And here's when the real adventure starts. Is when you get somewhere and you're not sure where you are and the GPS service goes out and you're sitting there having no idea where you are or which way to turn. So we just keep driving till we hopefully get a signal and find something that looks familiar, at least has a road sign on it. And you know the feeling if you've ever done that when you get that map back and you know where you are, that comfort and that relief. Now we can find our way home. I think you'd agree with me that right now, at least for my 66 years of life and what I remember at this age, I don't think we've ever lived in a world that has, for us, more confusion and more craziness. And then we put on top of that, if we're Christians, and I believe folks in this room primarily know the Lord, maybe all of us, we've chosen to get on a pathway, a narrow path that's countercultural, a path that God prepared in eternity past for us to walk, and a path that obviously takes us through very difficult and challenging times by design. So kind of like our drive, there are moments when we don't have the map and we feel lost and a little disconnected, and we have this desire and this need to know the Lord's will, to know His wisdom, to know His protection. What I'd like to do in this brief moment with you is remind you of something from these verses that God has reminded us and told us here through Solomon that He provides everything we need for safe passage through dangerous places. He gives us His wisdom so that we can navigate and stay on the path of righteousness that He's provided. What's such a blessing, and Aaron alluded to it in what he said, it's not that we just get direction from Him and orders from Him. He certainly gives us commands. But He watches over us like a shepherd over sheep. And He walks with us in this journey through life. So look at verses 6 to 8 of Proverbs chapter 2. The Word of God says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. In this council, Solomon is talking to his son. We see a very familiar theme that's all throughout the scripture, that God provides wisdom for his people and he protects them as he leads them on his path safely home. That's all through the scripture, and that's the essence of this passage. And I see two specific lessons from these verses. Lesson one from verses 6 and 7, that the Lord provides a storehouse of sufficient wisdom for his people. And lesson two from verse 8, that he personally protects and watches over his covenant people. I love the fact that Aaron talked about this is covenant language. It is. Let's look at lesson one. The Lord provides a storehouse of sufficient wisdom for his people. Proud, stubborn people don't ask for advice, and they don't ask for direction. Throughout these, more or less, this first 9 chapters of Proverbs, we've got a father talking to his son, pleading for him not to be foolish and not to be stubborn and not to be proud, but to have the fear of the Lord and to humbly seek and treasure this wisdom of God that he offers freely to those that will diligently seek it. Think about our Creator God, brothers and sisters. He's a revealing God. He doesn't hide. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare his glory and show forth his knowledge." He's not hiding. He reveals himself through the law and the prophets, the scriptures we have. And he ultimately has revealed himself in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. "Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He, that being Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." Let that sink in. God has plainly and clearly revealed himself, especially since Christ has come. So here's the curious question. Why do most people lack understanding and wisdom, since it's so readily apparent and available? It's pride. It's self-sufficiency. It's other desires. They have no desire for it. The Lord freely offers his wisdom, offers the very Son of God, the redemption and salvation of your soul. It's offered freely to whosoever will believe. He loved the world and gave his Son that whosoever believes. Yet, people don't want it. It's a heart issue. He gives his wisdom to all who will repent and put their life in his hands. Jesus Christ, we'll see as we develop this in Proverbs, is the full embodiment of the wisdom of God. And if you don't have the Lord, you don't have that wisdom. You may have knowledge, you may have religious thought, you may even know scripture, but if you don't have the Son, you don't have life, you don't have God's wisdom. And the good news is you can ask and call on him, and he'll give it. He promises that. But for those of us tonight who've received Christ, the Bible says something about us. It says we've been declared righteous. We're now upright people. We're called saints. We need the abiding presence, the daily presence of God and his wisdom to navigate this road that we're on through these trials and temptations and challenges. James says it this way, in the middle of your trials, in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach." That's our verse tonight, isn't it? And it'll be given him. If we'll humble ourselves, admit we have need, admit we need wisdom, both James and Solomon tell us that the Lord gives us wisdom. It's interesting in Proverbs 2:7 that it's stated the Lord stores up sound wisdom for the upright. That's an interesting phrase. It's another way of saying that God provides that sound wisdom is a complete wisdom, a sufficient wisdom. Everything we need for life and godliness, according to Peter. We have his promises. We have the counsel of scriptures. We have God's people and God's church. We have the very presence and the power of the Son of God through the Spirit of God indwelling in our hearts. We are not lacking anything that we need, and we need it. As we face difficult problems and challenges, I face things, you face things. What do? We face things in this church, as a board, what do? The Lord says, I have a treasure house full of all the wisdom you need, solid, sufficient counsel that is given to anyone who will humble themselves and ask. Think of it this way. If the Lord, our God, the Father, gave his Son to die for our sins, will he withhold any wisdom from us? Jesus said it this way, ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find it. Look, knock, keep knocking, and the door shall be open. Don't give up. So that's lesson one. The Lord gives us wisdom. Lesson two, the Lord personally protects and watches over his saints. Verse 8 again, he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Wisdom literature is full of parallelisms. What is that? Well, the writer states a simple truth, a simple proverb, but he states it in several different ways together. It's a literary form that helps us absorb what he's saying by meditation. We look at it this way, we look at it that way, we look at it another way, it comes in, it goes out, we think about it. It's a literary form. And verse 8 says this, the Lord is a shield, he's a guardian, and he's a watcher. He watches over his saints. He guards their just path. He shields those who walk in integrity. And in that same parallel, we see this, that true saints are those whom the Lord watches over and those who walk integrity on just paths. You see, this is Solomon teaching in that mode, the same thing several different ways. The Lord doesn't just give his people wisdom, but he watches them, he guards them, he protects them from falling. As we move forward and we learn to trust him, he upholds us, he keeps us, he guides our steps, he keeps our feet from slipping. He's in the process of us obeying and listening and following. The intimate care is exclusively for his people. That's why this is covenant language. This is not the way God works with the world, those that are outside of him, those that don't submit to him. This is exclusive family stuff that God does for us as his people. Those that are justified, those that are upright, those who fear him, those who walk in integrity. Let's talk just a moment about walking in integrity, because that's a key phrase here. Integrity, by definition, is a condition of moral goodness and a life that's focused not on having guilt or sin. It's an interesting definition. Think about it when you walk in integrity. What does it produce in your heart? Peace. Wholeness. The English word is very interesting. The root of the word, English word integrity, is integer. What's an integer? An integer is a whole number. It's not divided. It's not fractured. It's not a fraction. If you walk in integrity, you're whole. You're stable. Words of James again, single-minded, not double-minded. Stable. No divided heart. No inner conflict. Whole number, simple, sound, solid, complete. You are reconciled. You are at peace with God. People who walk integrity have more than just this knowledge. They have a simple, straightforward life that displays that wisdom. That's that plain wisdom. And because they're one with Him, their actions reflect His nature and person. That's walking in integrity. The question for us this evening is, do your actions and attitudes reflect your professed belief and devotion to the Lord? We have to see that Jesus lived and He died and He was raised so that we can not only be justified and forgiven, but that so we could have this peace, so we could have this wholeness, so we could have this integrity. And you may be struggling with that tonight. And God doesn't kick you to the curb and say, well, He isn't walking right, I don't want anything to do with Him. He says, come, confess your struggle. Tell Him you're double-minded. Plead for mercy. Ask for healing. And He promises us that if we'll agree with Him about our condition, that He's faithful and just and will forgive and restore, and just like the prodigal, bring us right back into His very intimate presence. Because brothers and sisters, we don't stand before God close to Him because of our goodness, our inherent goodness, our perfection. We stand in the person of Jesus Christ, who is perfect, the wisdom of God. Finally, in this verse we see God's promise to preserve His people as they persevere on the path. The perseverance and preservation of the saints is a two-sided coin. Philippians 2:12, Paul exhorts the believers to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in them both to will and to work His good pleasure. Here's the thing that I want you to see here as we walk on this path in integrity. We persevere, sweat and toil in the Christian life on that path. Why? How can we? Because we have assurance and we have promise that God will preserve and watch over us. That's the only reason we do it. It's the only reason we can do it. So this evening we've listened to Solomon telling his son that God gives wisdom and He provides the way and watches over that way for His people that will bring them safely home. We know that Jesus is the way to God. And in Christ alone, our shepherd, we have green pastures and peace. Connie and I had that feeling of relief and peace when the phone signal came back and the map appeared. And as God's people, we can experience that same type of joy and comfort as we seek God's wisdom. He freely gives us that signal and gives us everything we need to know to arrive safely home. Three very quick responses. First, if you lack wisdom, ask. The good news is the Lord promises to give wisdom to people who ask. It's that simple. Second, if you are lacking a peace of mind tonight, you're divided in your heart, you're conflicted, call out to Him for restoration and for clarity and seek His counsel so you can walk in a way that honors Him and glorifies Him. That's His desire. That's His will. That you pray according to that way, God will answer. And third, we're going to get a chance to do this at the end of the service. I didn't know this, but if God has been watching over you in specific ways and taking care of you, tell somebody. Tell others so He can get the glory. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you guys that precede me. So we'll continue to look into Proverbs chapter 2. And as we heard the first part of verses 1 through 8, you see that God is laying through here to Solomon, telling his son how to obtain wisdom, how to achieve wisdom, how to receive wisdom. It's by accepting the word of God, by memorizing, by crying, pray out for God's understanding, to search and treasure. And then he defines as the, he says, the Lord is the one that is the giver of the wisdom. So the first part, verse 1 to 8, God is the giver of wisdom, and then there's a process to how obtain wisdom. Verses 9 to 15, we're going to see the benefits of the wisdom. So a life lived trusting God will bear fruits. And in Proverbs 2, 9 to 15, the fruits will be in a form of wisdom. I could just speak through this fruit that is laid here in these verses, but I'm going to just talk about the benefits. But you see the fruits there. It talks many times about the wisdom himself, the understanding, the discretion, or the common sense, and then to the knowledge. So if you have kids, I've been constantly reminding my kids that it's good to drink water. Not just juice, not just Kool-Aid, but water, right? And the intent to tell them that that's good for them because water is a necessity to in our bodies, right? To live, we need water. And so we're going to see the benefits of the wisdom. And the first one, the first benefits that you see in verse 9, that the wisdom will change our character. And specifically, our moral character. So you see that then you will understand what is right and just and fair in every good path. So Solomon was telling his son, look, there is a way, a good way. And if you follow this, you will understand what is right. You will understand what is just and fair. And you will be able to discern every good path. And if you, I just will turn here, but Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does not do wrong, upright and just he is. So wisdom is also the very essence of God. He is omniscient, he knows all things, and give ears to that words, those words will be a benefit to us because we will reflect the very character of our God. He is just. He is fair, or he is also right. The second benefit that you see there in those verses is that the wisdom protects. It protects our heart and is pleasant to our soul. Verse 10 said, for wisdom will enter into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. So 2 weeks ago, I'm driving my Gator around the camp area, and I had to tell my Bella, look, you do not go close to those weeds. Those weeds are powerful. And you know what kind of weeds are talking about. So I showed her what was a poison ivy looks like. And I told her there's great danger. If you touch it, if you rub it, if you eat it, there's great danger. 6 years ago or 7 years ago when I came to camp first time, I did not know it was a poison ivy. Never heard. Ken told me, hey, please clean this landscape area, this pot of plants, and just clean all these weeds. No gloves, bare hands, all day, about 98 degrees outside. It was getting hot. It was getting super hot. And I discovered the power of the poison. I couldn't sleep. I was itching. I was getting so in so much pain. I had to get steroids. But why I'm saying that, I learn from mistakes, but also as a father with some wisdom from experience, I know now that I need to pass on to protect. I protect myself as I give ears to wisdom, but also I protect those that are around me. So wisdom protects. And last, wisdom will save you from the wicked man and all his ways. There's a lot of voices in the world, a lot of things that are promoting the very nature of our sinful hearts. We see a lot of sin in this world be cherished, being promoted as it's cool. Oh, it feels right. But God is telling that the wisdom can protect you from all of that. And you will see that there is a verse in the Bible, I think it's the 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, says that bad company corrupts good character. And as I was growing up in Brazil, my mom would always told me, do not run with this crowd. Do not go to these places. Do not do this. Why? Because she knew what was wrong and what and who was the wrong ones. I was innocent and I was not full of knowledge. But there were some words that I said to my mom that was very painful to her. It's okay, Mom. I know. I know that. I know this. And when our ears and our hearts are saying no to wisdom and just falling up into our ways, you see that you will find great trouble. So let's look to the verse 13 to 15 here. Again, wisdom will protect you from the wicked. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse and who leave the straight paths to walk in the dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So wisdom protect from this. Wisdom protect of this man or woman where the words are evil. You see also through the Bible that the words are not just bad, but it's a very reflection of what our hearts are full with. So we speak what our hearts are filled with. And this kind of man, we speak bad words, and words that are destructive to those who listen to. When we are young, you'll probably, we're on ground staff, Ken always told me, like, if you have one guy, you're good. If you have two guys, you have half a guy, but you have three guys, you have no guys, right? Because one will convince another, oh, watch this. And when you start with that, it's a bad idea, right? So wisdom is telling us to look. There's a great danger to hear some kind of people because their intentions are not right. But also, there are some kind of people that wisdom will help us to avoid is those whose paths are dark. Bible tells that in God there is no darkness, no darkness at all. And also in John chapter 3, it says that the light came to this world, but the world denied and just pushed away its head. Why? Because their works were evil. And the Bible says, I will just read it. In John chapter 3, verse 21 says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that in may we be seeing plenty that what he has done has been done through God. When God is merciful to us to allow us to hear his words, hear his wisdom, we will find light, but also we'll find truth, and we'll be saved by this people or this wicked man whose ways are dark. Also, from those who find delight and pleasure in doing something wrong. And then finally, from those whose ways are crooked or are defined as going to the wrong path, or the also in verse Psalm 125 says that the Lord will banish the evildoers, those who are the paths are crooked. There's great dangers to those who listen to these people and forget the words of wisdom of our God. Why Solomon is trying to tell this? And if you read the verse 1, he says, my son, right? He loves his son, and he wants the best. And we all know that. We have those that we love, and we want to invest, give, and put resources that those that are entrusted to us in our lives also can receive great benefits, but also live a life that is worthy of our God. Colossians 2:1 talks about that Paul was praying for the church to be full of knowledge of our God so they might live worthy of himself. And lastly, I said that three times, I know. It's but just by being a preacher, I guess. But Psalm 1, what is the intent of hearing, give ears, applying wisdom in our lives is this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. By giving ears to wisdom, to obtain this wisdom, to search for this wisdom, we will find great delight. Our lives will be defined as blessed, full, happy, enjoyable, right, just. But more importantly, you will find pleasure in God himself. The very nature of God is right, just, and wisdom. Thank you.
Thank you, brothers. I'd like to just respond to the hearing of God's word with a prayer of thanks here. Let's pray. Father, tonight as we feasted on your word together, we just come away so thankful that you've given us a book that is so robust, so full. We have exhortations in the epistles. We have beautiful pictures of your son in the gospels. We have stories like Judges this morning. But you've given us this wonderful book of just practical insight of how life works. And you're such a good father. You know that we need all of it. You know that we need every bit of what we enjoy when we open the Scriptures. So thank you for our brothers. Thank you for speaking to them and their study of your Word, and thank you for enabling them to open your Word to us tonight, that, as we just heard, we might know you and enjoy you. You truly do want what's best for us. You extend wisdom to us for life, and through that you protect us from the dangers that are all around us. And we just want to say thank you. You're such a good Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, testimonies now. Things that the Lord's been doing in your life that you would like to give Him glory for by sharing tonight with your church family. So you can just stay where you're at as long as you speak loudly so we can hear you. Or if you want to use the mic, you're welcome. So anybody like to share a testimony tonight? You say, that's not what we do when we come to church. We come and we just listen. We don't talk. All right, yeah, Homer.
As these gentlemen were preaching tonight, and I was reading along, it's like saying these verses are static. They could, if you're guilty of any of this, it can change in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of his testimony of how I learned poison ivy. It reminded me of a sermon that I heard not too long ago. There's two ways we learn about sin. We experience it, or we read it in a book or something. And I learned mine the hard way. And I got away from the Lord because of evil influence when I was about 14 years old. I had wicked family members that were older than me. They were telling me all how great of a life they were living in sin. And I got sucked into it. By God's grace, I was able to come back to Him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's Proverbs too. It's good. Good. Thank you, Homer. Anybody else? Ways God's been working. Douglas?
Like, there's many people in this church have been asked, hey, I've read your baby to write, and I said, I'm very nervous just because of the overwhelm of the summer that I will live like. And I am very blessed to a lot of people who are giving a lot of good insight, but also great counselor, and also be very thoughtful in prayers for us. So the church has been very kind to us. That's been praying for late pregnancy. So we'll just appreciate the church for that.
We're anxious to see this little baby soon. Yeah.
Me too.
You too, mostly. Yeah. Good. Anybody else? Lacey?
Some people know that I have had a really hard time this pregnancy, especially with my mental state. My mental health has been really hard. Back in January and February, I started having attacks, just with anxiety over things that didn't make sense to me, but you know, it's just a lot of anxiety and not necessarily fear, just worrying about things that I've never worried about before, but for some reason became very seemingly important to me at the time. So much so that I mentioned it to my doctor because of I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't. I wasn't wanting to eat. I was just crying all the time, which can happen, you know. But the Lord's been really good. This spring, I started reading one of the little pamphlets on anxiety, and just reading through several passages, you know, cast all your anxiety from Him, He cares for you. So when I start having those feelings and those fears, you know, He brings to mind some of the passages that I've learned. So praise the Lord, I haven't had any more of that so far. So I just am thankful for that.
Thank you, Lacey, for sharing that with us. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Aaron has given us permission to share this. I won't go into details, but he is now in the new members class, and so those of you that are aware of that or have been there have seen him in there. And he came to his first new members class last Sunday. 15 years ago, he was homeless. I met 15 or so years ago. He had severe problems, family issues and job issues and substance issues. And I asked him if I could share, because we're all embarrassed by our past before we knew the Lord. He professed faith at that time, but it was just that. It was a profession and it was not a possession at all. And I just share that for those right now that may be having children or grandchildren or close family members or people in their family that it's been years. Because it was years. This wasn't months. And it got worse and worse and worse. And it got devastatingly bad. Total alienation from the family. And now I'm having a Bible study with him every Saturday. I'm watching golf with him on Sunday. With joy, he comes over and shares his life with us. And he's still working through some relationship issues with people in the area because his brother especially, pray for Michael, he can't deny what he sees. And I can't deny what I see. And I just think the Lord, all of us would say, that's God. I wasn't the perfect father. We did our best. We messed up. We did good. We did bad. We trusted the Lord. We got upset. We gave up. We've been through the whole gamut. And in all of our instability and up and down, God faithfully brought him home. And he's here. And it's so evident. Not out of the woods in terms of problems and issues, pray for him, but he's just like the rest of us. A saved man that has a lot to work through. So,
amen. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, we rejoice in that.
He was glory. I told him, I said, Aaron, I have an idea that someday we're going to sit on a platform, maybe in counseling or somewhere, and share our story. And instead of him looking at me like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that, he said, I can't wait. And it's because it's not about him, it's not about us, it's about the Lord. Because I was just as much a mess up as he was. I mean, it's our God and his grace.
Well, a dozen or so of us heard him begin to share that this morning in the new members class. It was a wonderful testimony. Yeah, that's wonderful. One more, maybe. Anybody else? Matt.
Yeah, I was mentioning this. I haven't been able to be in there because of other responsibilities with the book that Ken is working through in Sunday school, Habits of Grace. If you're not in a Sunday school class, if you're not able to attend that, I highly recommend that. It's been so encouraging to me that he places an emphasis on building the habits that the Lord has given us to be able to tap into and experience his grace, but being able to relieve the burden of having to do those, if that makes any sense. And so he just is a great way of explaining what you're doing, why you're doing it, how it relates to all of life and just influences all of life as opposed to a checkbox that you have to be able to do. So if you don't have that, if you're not in class, I highly recommend that book. Grab it. It's been super encouraging to me. So.
All right. Good reference and testimony about that practical book. Well, let's transition for our final thing of the evening, our monthly business meeting, and we'll first of all talk about our financial report. Those were distributed as you came.